So the Mishnah today in the second Shviit is the first Mishnah in the sixth Perek, which requires an extensive introduction, which is going to be provided by our very own in-house historian, archaeologist, tourist guide, and guide for the Daf Yomi, our very, very own Rev Barnea Halevi Set Lavan. But first, let's just recognize that what we need to do in order to understand where it is that the Kedusha of Shemitah is Chal is to recognize that there are different stages in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. We had the Kedusha Rishena, and the Kedusha Rishona took place at the time of the Aliyah from Mitzrayim. And that Kedusha Rishona, because it was done through Kibush, was batal when the Kibush was batal. So that at the time of the Korban, the rights of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael became mitbatlu. And until the Aliyah with Ezra, which is the Kedusha Shnia, there was no Kedusha. And therefore, when we say no Kedusha, we mean no Kedusha Lagabe, the mitzvahs. Obviously, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is innate. And we also have, as the Rambam is Mechalek, the Kedusha Shchina from the Kedusha Zaharetz, which is never batal. And that affects the Makom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. But therefore, we need to clearly define what the gvulos of the Aretz are. The original gvulot Aretz, as appears in the Torah, the gvulot Aretz, which were actually achieved, because that was necessary in order for the first Yovel to be Chal, and then the gvulos that were achieved by the Aliyah, the second Aliyah, and that Kedusha Shnia was Niskacha L'Shaita, but Niskacha L'Tivavo, which we therefore still have. In order to be able to define the Shemitah, we need to know the difference between that original Kedusha and the Kedusha as it exists today, because we do have Rabbanans that may be Chal on parts of Eretz Yisrael that should have been Kadesh, but we weren't Zaycha yet to be Mekadesh, whereas other Rabbanans would apply only to Inyanim of Surya and not to Chutz Laretz Bechlal, all of which is about to be explained by our own Rav Barnea. Please, Rav Barnea, share your screen and give it to us.
So first of all, I'm honored at the opportunity. Secondly, as I sent pictures earlier, this whole Sfarim on this. And what I want to do is give an overview. Rebbe just gave an overview. What you'll see here, should be able to see my screen now. You now all have this file, which is for personal use. I included it in the DAF group attachment. So if you want to open it up now yourselves, from before you have a list of sources of boundaries within Sefer Zeruyim, Kelim, a little bit of the very important Rambam and Trumos where he defines things. And now you have this document today. So in terms of borders of Eretz Yisrael, as Raphael put out a 7 or 8 volume encyclopedia, of which I only have 3 volumes. Okay? The borders of Eretz Yisrael mentioned 7 times in Tanakh, 5 times in the Nevi'im, and 3 times in Chazal. And all of the, many of these have halachic ramifications and will boil down to our Mishnah. I wanted to put people to soften up the ground in the 3 minutes that we have now. This will probably take another day or so. So you have the promise to Avraham and Gracious that goes from Mitzrayim. Where, what's the Nachal Mitzrayim? Is it the Nile? Is it the Pelusian, which is the right wing of the Delta? Is it El Arish? Or is it even closer to us in Nachal Besor? And then it goes to the Prat. The Prat is definitely the Euphrates. But from where? Because it's a long line, and the size of Eretz Yisrael makes a difference to where you make the connecting point. So for example, the Rambam says that the Arei HaLeviim and Arei Miklat have to be within the boundaries as given to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he specifies that, which is very interesting. There's a place called Eiver HaYardeh, that the definition of that is a wide range and can also be applied differently. The Rambam even applies it to the West in certain halachas. We'll get to it. There's Kibush Yachid. David HaMelech went, before conquering all of the internal Eretz Yisrael, he conquered areas to the north, and that gave it a partial Kedusha. So you have Aram Tzov, Aram Naharaim, and I gave you a particular reference if you want to see it. There's a concept used called the Eretz HaNoshevet, the settled area, as opposed to the Eretz HaNisheret that we were promised but we didn't actualize.
Where does it use that language, Rav Barnea? Can you tell us?
It comes from Sefer Shoftim, Eretz HaNisharet, that wasn't conquered, but where it's using it right now, I don't have in my head now. No, I'm sorry. I'll look for it. I just was pulling it up and remembered it. Then there's drawing the line, which directly relates to our Mishnah. What does it mean? We're not in our Mishnah yet, but what does it mean from here to there? And many hold it means of drawing the line across the sea and including an area between Nahar Mitzrayim and whatever the other point is. And where does that line go in the sea? That's fascinating. We'll get to it. There are boundaries in the future. There's the Eretz Shloshet Ha'amim, the Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni. What does that refer to? There's boundaries in the future in Yecheskel, the boundaries of Shvatim. There's some specific aspects. There's a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in Chal and Yerushalmi that specifically says Yam HaGadol. So he's including all the Mediterranean. You can understand that Rav Ariel really likes that one. There's another concept of places that we conquered, but we were only there briefly. I didn't put it in the phrase here. It's a beautiful phrase of they were just there Liyamim or so. I'll look for it later. Then there's shifting borders. Where we started, for example, we had the boundaries of Eretz Israel, and then Malchut Yehuda lost control of the south, right? And then we had later conquests when we're dealing with Chazaka, which need to be explained, and by Cheney. So Chaim Egeni Olav Hashalom raised with me, what about the conquest of the Chashmonaim? Does that now add to the area because they were the representatives of Klal Yisrael and they conquered a new area? What about the Israeli army conquering to Eilat? Is Eilat, Richie, are you listening? Is Eilat within Eretz Israel or you've left Eretz Israel?
Do this to Richie. He just tore up his garden. He's got to replant that garden and it's Shnas HaShemitah. And he figured in Eilat he's going to get away with murders. So don't say anything further.
Yes. So Rav Ariel told me, but I don't have a copy of it here, he made a chart of how every few years the boundary for Shemitah changes as people become more and more chamor and there's different sucking. So somebody will still allow Richie to do it. Then there's the Gemara in Baba Brasa bringing a chazal of that there's seven seas, Shivat Yamim, and four rivers around Eretz Yisrael. The rivers Yarden, Yarmuch, Kiromion, and Figa. Kiromion and Figa seem to be northern rivers, and they affect our Mishnah also. Now, every site that's mentioned in the Mishnah and in other sources that we're about to get to, just about, is a machlokus. Almost every site. So, for example, Hor HaHar. Right? So I brought you, this is a map just to discuss different opinions of where Hor HaHar of the north, the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, is. Here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, right?
And it's not to mention that it's very confusing that there's the other Hor HaHar where Aaron was buried, which is a totally different place.
The far south, right. So when are we referring to each one? So just in saying, that's why there's whole worlds here. Literally a person can devote their life to this issue, and some people have, etc. Now a little bit more directly onto our Mishnah. So the Kivush of Olei Mitzrayim is with Yeshua and the Shvatim coming into Eretz Yisrael, and that's where Sefer Yeshua and Sefer Shoftim are critical to understand what were those areas, what was meant to be. You know, Avram is told and Yeshua is both told, from kol makom asher tidroch kafrag lechem will be yours, and from Nahar Mitzrayim, wherever that is, right, to the Prat. Someone just told me, a doctor just told me, I think, that runners, the back of their foot never touches the ground. They're only using the front of the foot. So the tidroch is the back of the foot. It means treading, and that you made it yours and that you're here. So the kivush of Olei Mitzrayim was, Kedusha was lost in the Golot. There's another factor of, in order for Yovel and all halachas to take place according to everybody, Rov Yisrael has to be living here also. So it's not just the geography, it's also what representatives here of Klal Yisrael are there, and that's why you hear people reviewing every year how many Jews are living there in Israel and how many Jews are living in the Chutz Laaretz, because that can make a tilt in various shitot between Darabban and Darais. I leave that to Revi. And Yerushalayim and the Mikdash function differently, because the shita which the Rambam paskins that even if it was lost for Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't lost for Yerushalayim and for the Mikdash. So the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim retain ability for mitzvot, and for example, giving smicha can be done anywhere in the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim, the Shekhinah stays, And Ole Baval, which is done by Chazaka, they deliberately limited the boundaries for Shrita Truma Damchala. It's now 8:55. This is Rebbe, this is a good place to stop and continue next time.
Okay, that was wonderful. And I will do a better job of stopping early tomorrow. I'm sorry for, we wouldn't have been able to finish anyway. So
no, this can be over a couple of days.
Right? Yeah, fine. Excellent. Yeah. It's a wonderful beginning. This is a beautiful job. You did such nice work to type all of that up. We really appreciate it. And anything, if you want to add and, give us also the copies of it on the DAF, I guess on the DAF page.
I sent it.
No, I'm saying anything you want to add and give us a copy of your edition. It'll be great to download whatever you put in just to make things clear and any references and so on. Now, this could be a major thing you could put out. It could, by the time you finish, it could be 50 pages long. So we're happy to take your updates daily. Wonderful, wonderful. Deeply appreciated. And looking forward till tomorrow. And meanwhile, the Gabi is taking us all around the Gvulais so that we can all actually get to see in fast forward all of the Gvulais. You're going to start down all the way in the south, Gabi? Or you want to take us up to Turi Amnon, maybe? Or to Harahar? Thank you very much. We appreciate also your daily tours, Baruch Hashem. It's wonderful. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. Can't wait for the continuation tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. See you. Kol Tov. Have a wonderful day. And don't forget that this is supposed to be the day of Hoshia Samecho Varechas Nachala Secha, talking about the Nachala. We're aiming at the same Adon Olam, Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov, everyone. We continue with our preparation for Perek Shishi Mishnah Aleph, for which we need to be able to define, hand in hand with our Gemara, which defines the time of Shemitah. We are here in this Mishnah defining the place of Shemitah. And please, Rabbanea, continue with your marvelous exposition. I will open up the sharing of the screen.
So, Boker Tov, everyone. I've sent you just now the new file. We'll briefly go over because we added some things.
Please.
And here we go. So there are many times that the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are mentioned with different implications. There's different levels of areas which are defined for Eretz Lo Shavat, the discussion of whether it's Eber HaYarden or the western side. I sent you Mekorot, Eretz HaNisharet, not finished. There's an important idea of drawing a line across the sea, of which the main discussion is in Gittin, the Roinato ki iluchut matuach lehem, from Turei Amnon in the north to Nachal Mitzrayim, what's inside, what's outside. We're going to get into that in detail in just a few moments. Future boundaries of Shlosh Damim in Yecheskel. I'm adding here to the specifics, the Reb Yehuda and Chal and Yushami. It's not just there, but it includes all the Mediterranean. There's an idea of enclaves, of tchumim, of where there's going to be, even if in the region there's a different situation, in this enclave, it's a different halacha. It might be, which we'll discuss again. Some places conquered, but Yisrael is only there briefly. I'll get you the Makor Bli Neder. Eretz Rephaim, relevant to the Golan and the Bashan, very nicely connected to our Parshus over there, that Rashi defines as the area which I gave to Abraham, which would be the Bashan. The Ramban says it refers to Eber Yarden. It's a nice discussion. Rav Yigal Ariel from Nov in the Golan has a sefer Eretz Yarden Vechermonim on this topic. And he also has another beautiful sefer, Ma'agalei HaShvi'it, which he wrote many years ago with Midrash HaGolan, that goes through all the different issues of Shemitah, Mikorot, and it's meant for teachers, so it's explained with exercises. It's really a wonderful thing. The Sifra, in a few places, calls the west side where we are Eretz HaMiyuchedet, the special land. Interesting thing. Borders can shift. During the time of Malchus Yisrael, we lost the south. And then I found in Makorot of Chaim Begini Olav Shalom that, for example, the Kesef Mishnah says the 60 cities that Yanai captured are like Ole Bavel. And maybe the captures of the Hashmonaim and of Herod are there. I think I have this again in this document. And then there's a discussion which Rav Yishol Yisraeli brought and others, is Sahal, as the representatives of Am Yisrael, and in making a military conquest, does that bequeath Kedusha further? Very Negev Richie, we'll get to it. Seven Seas and Four Rivers we discussed. And I gave you the example of Hor HaHar.
Seven Seas are also very Nogei Rishi.
What is?
Seven Seas are also Nogei Rishi.
I'm going off to the nursery today to pick out plants to replant in the garden, so we better hurry. Like to endanger my soul.
Yafet. So the northern Hor HaHar is an example. Look at we saw this yesterday. Look at all the different opinions which are here. I brought you now also from the Sefer of our neighbor in the Old City, Rev Chaim Steiner, who wrote a Sefer in the Boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So look at that. Here's one, two, three. Here's the sheet of the Rambam, which is based on the parallels on the longitude and latitude lines. So you see all these different opinions just where Hor HaHar is, and obviously that affects. What if I know there's a tshuva of Rav Moshe Zatzal about winter wheat from South Turkey. You know, are you in Eretz Yisrael? Are you not? Do the halachas apply or not? But here we are, speaking of this week's Parsha Mismola the Meseh. Right, here's a close-up where he marked things even a little bit more. And that's just on one point. Look how much from Beirut all the way up into the south of Turkey. I was at this one called Musada, all the way over here by the Antioch River spilling out. Another example of different shito, this Nahar Mitzrayim. This is again from Rav Steiner. There's the Pelusian arm, the right side, the eastern side of the delta has its own identity. And some hold that that is Nahar Mitzrayim. The Rambam seems to hold it's the main line of the of
the Nile.
The Nile. And there are other shitos that hold that it's El Arish is Nahar Mitzrayim, which makes it just to the west of Gush Katif, you know, it puts it much closer. And the Nafka Mina is the northern Sinai in there or not. Here's the Rambam's sheet of Rabbi Yaakov Castro, who was the Rav of Kahir, says clearly that the Rambam holds that Nahar Mitzrayim is the main part of the Nilus. He was the Bar Dasra. Right? It's very nice. Right. Okay. More directly, Ad Kana Kofa Aleph, we're starting a Kofa Beis. Issues which are we started more directly related to our particular Mishnah. The Kivush of Ole Mitzrayim, when we say those who came up from Egypt, we're talking about those who entered the Yisrael and who got the Nachla. We learned in Baba Basra, and we talk in the Psukim about how there's an interface and how to divide up the land between those who actually left Mitzrayim and those who came in. But that's what we're talking about, coming in with Yeshua and the Shvatim. That Kedusha was lost when we went into the Galut of Beit Rishon. But not just that. As regarding Yovel and Shemitah, you needed Rov Yisrael living here. So Yovel stopped once the first Assyrian Galus happened that sent Reuven Gad and Chatzi Menashe into Galut. Already you didn't have Yovel. That's already a century before the Churban itself. According to the Rambam, Yushalayim in the Middash, is Kedushasam L'Shaito, Kedushasam L'Asid Lavo, and they didn't go away. You have to see the Ravan on that. That's not our focus at the moment. So the boundaries of Ole Mitzrayim are still relevant to us and are part of what's being discussed here. There are mitzvot which are still there as part of Eretz Yisrael. A nice example is that you have to give smicha where the Shechina is, and the Rambam Paskins, that, you know, the boundaries of Ole Mitzrayim are good for giving smicha. So the Shechina is still there. It's Nogea, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What if somebody's out of the boundaries of what we're about to discuss? And that's this, the boundaries of the Ole Bavel. The Ole Bavel were acquired by Chazaka, not by Kibush, and it was not lost when the Golos of Edom came. They deliberately limited the boundaries. The Chazal did not call it Ezra Beis Dino, and then we can discuss in a second, right, how far does that go, did not seek to make everything Kaddush again. They deliberately didn't. To some degree, it's dependent on where the Jewish Yishuv was, and others are deliberate. So that's why we have that the famous in the Masori that Amun and Moav Misasrim B'Shvias, give Trumos, give Maisres, and you're going to give Meiser Ani within those properties so that I know I have a supply of food for the Aniyim during Shvias. But further down in Edom and down south, that does not have that Kedusha, that's where the Bnei Brak, Chazon Ish people are planting huge amounts and are probably already getting vegetables from there. Now, there's an issue. At what point in Bayit Sheni is there this determination of the boundaries? Is there a cutoff? Did it have to start with Ezra? What about the later conquest of the Hashmonaim? What about the later conquest of Herod? What if it was in Jewish hands and then come the Romans and threw you out, etc.? Does it have to last to the end? There's an opinion, there's a psak, an approach on each, holding each one of those possibilities. Below Ashkelon, as we're about to discuss, there's no Kedusha, and that's why the Gush Katif vegetables, for those who remember, thrived there, because it was Jewish food without issues of Shemitah. It could be exported and so on. There are concept of Tchum. There are zones within other areas, Ashkelon, Kisaria, Beit Shan, Susit, and others. There's a concept of the Arei Kutim. Again, you might be in an overall Jewish area, but this city is a zone where the halachas are different. The core, not operating system, the core text for the determination of the boundaries of Shemitah is called the Braita Tchumen. It's not directly in the Bavli. It's in the Sifri, it's in the Alkut Shemoni, both in Ekev, it's at the Sefta in Shvias, and it's an extensive discussion in the Yerushalmi in Shvias. There's a fascinating find that Chaim Megeni Olav HaShalom, he was from our first guides as Kerem Yeshiva, and we kept the connection, he explained to me that the Tel Rehov mosaic, which has this brayta, is the oldest physical object with the Chazal text. And here's a picture of it. And it was pulled out of Tel Rehov and brought to the Israel Museum, and they're just now again restoring it. That should last for many years. It was outside. Now it's indoors in the lower floor in the archaeological department. And it's like, I'd like to spend a moment on that, that it's like the mosaics, how I understand the mosaics on the shul floors. They didn't have yet the butcher calendars. They didn't yet have the funeral home calendars or the Diskin orphanage calendar, the Maizedes itself would get New York. How do you track time? You track time by going to shul. And the shul floor had the calendar and the intersection between seasons and months and the images of the sun. It's very nagei our discussions now that Rebbe's giving us the insight into Rosh Hashanah. And Barnea suggests that there was a red disc that would be the responsibility of the gabbai to move around the floor as you moved around during the year. Now, the raya that it's not just art, and it's not just, you know, this is how they do it, is the Shulchan En Gedi. Because the Shulchan En Gedi has the text of the months and the mosaics without any design. The design in the middle is something else. That means it has to, this information is part of what a shul floor does. It's made very well, it's going to stay, it's not going to peel off, it goes into the shul floor. Tel Rehov is just a few minutes away from the Yarden and just a few minutes away from Beit Shan. You're traveling, you're about to cross, you just came in. It's a public service announcement. You're now in a border zone. It's very helpful to have these halachas over here. It may simply be, what a better thing, you know, where Rebbe once spoke on Yom Kippur about, you know, where's the last Ne'ilah? So, to a piece of art which reflects your particular unique position, you know, let's say you're the shul of the Empire State, but you could also understand. So, hey guys, we're this Brisa, so that's the design of our shul. But the Pashtus says it's a public service announcement. Okay, that's my suggestion. Back to share screen. Here is one of many academic approaches to understand the text. I just marked a few places over here that you would recognize. Susita is above the Kinneret, Beit Shan, the Tchum of Tzur, the area of Tyre, which is particularly interesting because it was off the, what's Ashkelon, Dor, Chomat Akko, very fascinating. And there's whole Sfarim going one by one, identifying where these are. So this is from Rav Ariel, first discussing the area of Nahar Prat and the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim and what halachos are still there according to which we've shown him, right? And now the Tchum of the Olei Bavel. And just look at the overall shape. You could look at it as a heart, you could look at it as a liver, some way to remember it. We're going to focus in on this in just a moment. And you see he's talking about Demai, Chala, Shvius, Get. He has all these simanim here to know what mitzvahs apply where. Very beautiful once you get it. Here, it's in a more readable Hebrew. The Tchum Yeretz Yisrael, Parshat Ashkelon, Migdal Shoshon, which is Caesarea. That's why Rebbe Paskin, that he's in Eretz Yisrael. He's not in the Ayer Kutim. He's not in the Tchum Yisrael. Rebbe was Paskining in the opening of Shir that Netanya is not affected by those halachot. So anyway, you see all these different areas on both sides of the Yarden, by the way, and down south as well. There's some details. This is another approach from Rav Pinchas Neeman's Sefer on Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, identifying each one and his boundaries. And here I give you a close-up. Look over here. Here's Sor. We're talking about Sumer, so here's Akko. What's happening over here? There's a bend in the line. Are you to the west of the line, to the east? Here's Kazib. So why he exactly drew the line here, you know, he'll explain in the Sefer. But you just see how it's touch and go where you are. Here's a close-up of the south, right? Here's Yavna, Ashdod, right? And then as you come to Ashkelon, the line is turning. How do you understand the line? Every point over here is a discussion. The Rambam, when the Rambam uses the terminology Evar Yarden, it's tricky because he uses it in a few different ways. He holds that the Evar Yarden for Shvius is like Ole Mitzrayim, and the Takana of the Parnas of the Niyam is in the eastern side, but he uses also the term Evar Yarden to the west. Let's just read this line. Evar Yarden Shvius Nohegis Mamed Ibrahim, V'Svichei Surya, that's the next Mishnah, and Evar Yarden can be eaten Be'achila. Lo Yuatzos Elu Chamarim from Eretz Yisrael than Ole Mitzrayim. So he's making a balance of those boundaries. But there's
what does that mean? You could eat Be'achila means there. Means there's no din?
In the area of Ole Bavel, I'll deal with the Arises. I'm going to add Yisurim Derabanan. In the areas of Ole Mitzrayim, they will have a Kedusha, but I'm not going to impose on you with additional restrictions because I'm not going to make the areas which are a step below Eretz HaMiuchedet and a step, or not the Eretz HaNoshevet. Yeah, I'm not going to impose on them more than I would impose on Ole Mitzrayim. Some of the Dinim Derabanan, the Yisurim, will not apply. It's really the next, discuss it in Mishnah Beis. The halachas I'm leaving to Rebbe, I'm just introducing, right? So the parnasa of the Aniyim of Ammon and Moab is there, so they should be Saimachan and Vishvias. But he also uses the term of Evar Yarden HaMizrachi by Shvias and by Beer, and where is Lod? And so it's tricky, and only in the Rambam, here for is a close-up. The Kafta Beferach explains, according to the Rambam, there's two types of Evar Yarden. For Shemitah, it's in the east. But for beer, even in the west, the Shalosh Artsos beer, which we're going to get in several Prokim from now, a little detail there, Eretz Yehuda, Arva, Shvelosh, Eretz Achas, Eva HaYarden, here, he's talking about Lod and other areas in the west. So in issues relating to Perik Vav, the Rambam will be using Eva HaYarden to the east. But in the issues of Perik Tess of beer, that same term of Eva HaYarden will apply to the west. What are Hakafa Gimel? Or should I stop here? Should I stop?
Yeah, you should stop, but we also are going to need, I think, when you get to the end of this, a direct discussion of the names of the places that are mentioned in the Mishnah specifically, as opposed to this.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, coming up.
Okay.
Yes.
All right,
so we're only on page 22 of 34.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Further maps. So we're up to halachic dependent of boundaries. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi Arnea. And the places that, of course, are in your neighborhood, like Turkey and all of these other places, you can send out your personal photographs just to make it more exciting. All right, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Arnea. Really, it's beautiful that all the work that you've put in. We're very, very grateful. It makes it so much more touchable, feelable. It's amazing. So hopefully we'll be zarcha to be able to get the halachas put into there as effectively as you gave us your information.
Shkoch, shkoch.
Amen. Kol tov, everyone. Have a wonderful day. I miss you already. See you Bezrat Hashem. Be zarcha tomorrow as well. But this time with Rov Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael preparing already for the full D'oraisa, which will change some of these halachas, but we do our best day by day. Kol tov. We are now continuing the introduction to Mishnah 1 of the 6th Perek. Is Mishnah Echad Beperek considered to be in the 6th Perek, or do you need more than one Mishnah Echad? This is something that we'll have to wait till we get back to Rosh Hashanah to consider. Remember that the learning today is Le'ilui Nishmat Chava Bat Chana, the esteemed mother of Moshe Binyamin Plotinsky. Just one word. Okay, go for it, Dr. Barnea, or almost Dr. Barnea. You are muted, which may be a good idea, but I think we probably going to have to...
Can I share screen?
The demands never end. How do we, one second, advance? You're on.
Okay. One second. We are actually getting near our Mishnah. Just one second, I want to share this with you. Here we go. Shalosh Aratzos 4 is coming. Ignore your previous ones, and there'll probably be a 5. Okay. Open. Show screen. Okay. Here we go. When we last left our hero, we had been doing maps and we discussed the Rambam of Avra Yardane. I found in the book of Boundaries of Beit Sheni this map, and it is not only marking the Brice of Tchumim for the Ole Bavo of Beit Sheni, it is also identifying the smaller zones, the areas, the exceptions. Look over here by Caesarea, for example. Spotlight here. Look over here by Caesarea, right, an area. Look over here. There are different color. Here's Beit Shan, different areas. And they gave a color coding. Here is the color coding, which I included for you. I think what happened is that they made 4 distinct colors, but then when they overlaid it on the basic color, the differences between the colors fade and they're not clear. But I'm slightly colorblind. Maybe you see the differences, but at least the idea is that there are different areas. I don't want to say blotches, but there are different areas within. So this is a very useful map. Okay. What are halachot which are dependent on boundaries? We'll start with our Mishnah and then other things. Plowing, planting, pruning, picking, selling. If it's outside the bounds, no problem. There are areas, which is what we're dealing with.
Outside which bounds? You're not explaining which bounds.
Bechlal, halachot which are dependent on boundaries, whether it be Ole Bavel, Ole Mitzrayim, or others, what's in Eretz Yisrael, what's not in Eretz Yisrael, the different areas that we discussed above of Surya, Avar Yarden, etc. What type of activities will make a difference that if I cross the line will change? So these are halachas which are particularly, these activities are particularly relevant to Shemitah. There's an area where I'm going to keep a Daraisa without imposing the Rabbanan. Like, for example, in Surya, right? I won't impose the Drabbanan. Eating what grew from prohibited work, that might be the issue. There might be a Kedusha Midrabbanan, and I'll tell you to take Maiser Ani. When foods, if I'm eaten, I have to determine, okay, you can eat them. The halacha says you can eat them, but does that mean eat them with the Kedusha of Shemitah or without the Kedusha of Shemitah? That's going to be an issue. Is there a mitzvah to eat Shemitah foods? Svichen, the aftergrowth prohibition midrabbanan, which Rebbe will explain later. Dmai, where I have a suffix, I'm buying from an Amaretz, and I have a suffix whether he took off Truma Gedola. Do I impose that din of Dmai? Do I not?
No. I don't have a suffix on Truma Gedola. I have a Vada Gedola. No.
Truma's Meiser, I'm sorry.
Right. And Meiser.
Right. Beer. The requirement of for Shvius of beer, what is that requirement? Is it Hefker? Is it total destruction? We'll deal with that later. That Rebbe will deal with that later. So there's divisions and subdivisions of Eretz Yisrael for beer. How long can I store it at home? Because as long as the animal in the field has access to that particular crop, I can keep it at the home. Once it's no longer available outside, then beer kicks in. In that aspect, as we will learn in the ninth parak, there are subdivisions of Eretz Yisrael. Just because I live in the Galil, and in Yehuda they don't have something, doesn't necessarily affect me, but there's even more subdivisions. May I eat post-beer? Do I have to be cautious that beer was not done properly or not? Does beer affect private ownership or company ownership? That's within beer. There's another concept that I should have mentioned before, I'm mentioning it now, of Tumas Ha'amim, of an area which is going to affect, if I'm entering a city or a zone or even the earth of certain lands, I must deal with that as being mitame. There's an issue of chala, taken and given to a kohen. Can he eat it, or is it just separated and burnt? That is a whole Mishnah which we're about to discuss a little bit in detail, where also there are three arutzos. Forcing a wife to stay in an area, she wants to move, and you say, no, we agreed, we're in Yehuda. That doesn't mean we have to leave Yehuda. And again, areas are given Yehuda, Eber, Hayarden, and the Galil. Chazaka on land ownership, where the holder and the owner in the same area, and
you're
no mechal,
an
no
H, pro- an H. Put that H there.
In Chazaka?
No, in where?
I meant were. Were the holder and area in the same area?
What no you said was where. Okay.
Yeah. And Yehuda, Eva, Yarden, Galil. When I have the spotlight on, I don't know how to change it back to type. Agricultural needs triggering the need to add to a month a year. If Yehuda has a need, or Eva, Yarden has a need, or Galil has a need, then we'll discuss adding a year. So again, I'm focused on what is happening in a particular region. Is the burial in Eretz Yisrael or out of Eretz Yisrael? This was very Negea Akko. In Kfar Yosef, there's a Jewish cemetery because it's in further to the east. People of Akko would be buried, not in Akko, to make sure they were buried in Eretz Yisrael. So where's that line? When to begin asking for rain? Am I in the Eretz Yisrael zone or have I moved to the Chutzlard zone? The overall keeping of mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, or is it just specific mitzvahs, the discussion in the Mefarshim, as opposed to preparation of getting ready in Chutzlaretz? Is tefillin a mitzvah that's only fully a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlaretz? Where's that boundary? Or is it only specific mitzvah? Discussion. And now, drum roll, we are at our Mishnah in Shvius. Here we go. I'm going to stop that so I can use it. I can't stop it. Okay. Shalosh Aratzos L'Shvias. I'm just giving the introduction. Rebbe will teach the Mishnah. Kol Sheherziku. Notice that Lashon of Herziku Oli Bavel from Eretz Yisrael until Kaziv is not eaten and not worked. What that means? A discussion. Kol Sheherziku Oli Mitzrayim. Now we understand that term. The earlier boundaries, which are broader. That's from Kiziv, we'll discuss that in a second, to the Nahar, which river? Oh boy. Avad Amana, that's a discussion. There, it's Nechel, you can eat it, Avalo Neva. What does that mean? Mina Nahar, Ume Amana, Vilifnim, Nechel Venevad, less restrictions or no restrictions. Let's go over it again, we take it from the top. The old versions of the Mishnah say Giziv, but the Kafta Beferach points out Gimel and Chaf are often are transposed, and even though it says Giziv in a number of different uses of Mishnayos that are related here, there's general acceptance that it means Giziv. Good. Now, before getting into the details, there are parallel Mishnayot that have to be kept in mind. In Dmai, there's also a line, Mikziv Ulahalan Patur Min Admai. In Chala, Rabbi Gamliel Oimer Sholosh Aratzos L'Chala. So far that sounds the same as Sholosh Aratzos L'Shvius, right? May Eretz Yisrael Ve'ad Kaziv. He doesn't say the Kol Shehir Ziku part. So May Eretz Yisrael Kaziv Chalachat, from Kaziv to the Nahar to Amana, that sounds familiar. Shtei Chalot, one is for the fire, one is for the Kohen. Shalur has a shear for the Kohen. There is no shear, that's a Chala issue. From the Nahar to the Almanat Vilifnim, that sounds the same, right? Shtei Chalot, etc. The Tosefta in Shvia says, what is Eretz Yisrael? Minahar Daroma Shel Kaziv. That's a little bit different. So some identify this with the Gaton and the Haria, and it's really just several minutes drive. I didn't check walking, but from experience, it's just several minutes drive from the Gaton, where David Wilner lives, on the banks, basically, of the Gaton, yeah, and until Tel Kiziv. And some connect this to the different brises, to the brisa of Trumim, and other texts like Yerushalmi and Shvius, where it says, Ako v'rosh ga'ato, or v'rosh me ga'atan, and say that's the Narga. Ga'atan. So the river
Barnea, can you please explain the relationship of Tel Kiziv to the Kiziv, which is in Lebanon? How in the world did Kiziv get within a few minutes of David Wilner's Ga'aton?
I didn't see anybody say Kiziv, a Kiziv in Lebanon. I saw them say the Tel Kiziv, which is in Israel, where it's just where we want to move, just below Rosh HaNikra, as we're about to see in a second, and just above Nahariya.
But
I didn't see a Kiziv in Lebanon.
The historical Kiziv that we refer to all the time, if you would show us your map, do you have that map of the coast of... you just showed a map before. Can you just go up to that map? I'm very confused. So, okay, above... we have Akko Tsur, and then the next map. You need the one that goes up.
No, but the Kiziv is right here. That's why they changed its color here. They just didn't put it because there was no room. Kiziv is right at this point here. Let's take another one. Here.
Uh-huh. Okay, but that's currently in Israeli territory, you said.
Yes, remember there was a wild man who had Medinas Kiziv, you know, he had his own laws, he would come and stamp your passport. I forgot his name, he lived on the shore, he was like a crazy guy, Medinas Kiziv, independent of the Israeli government. That's where it is.
I think it was Moti Avivi, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember, but right, it was a wild man, right? It's that, you know, everybody knew they came there to get away, you know. You didn't need a passport, and you didn't need clothes.
Okay, so okay. You said that's directly south of Rosh HaNikra.
Right, moments away, right. And that's going to figure in right here in the second Rosh HaNikra. Tosefta and Olos, which is also Gemara in Ervin, we'll see it again. But Haholech Me'ako to Kiziv, to the right the Derech is Tahara. From there, it's Eretz Ha'abim, and Chayv and Meiser and Shvius, until you know that it's Butter, the approaches, until you know, is it part of Eretz Yisrael or not. To the small, to the Marav HaDerech, it's Tmeah because Eretz Ha'abim, and therefore Butter from Meiser and from Shvius, until you know that it's Chayim, right? And it said, Kiziv, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shem Aviv, Ad LeKalabi, which the great Shimon Klein says, that's Rosh HaNikra, Kalabi is Rosh HaNikra. So we're right in that area, with the Gaton River in Nahariya, we're Tel Kiziv, and we are Rosh HaNikra. Now I noticed that Ben Eliel points out a difference, and then they bring approaches, of the between the Bavli and Yerushalmi is the text, the, like our Mishnah focus, Lifnim of the line, or the outside of the line. It's an issue, so I just wanted to throw that in. Another Chazal in Bereishis Rabbah, that Avram Avinu was coming to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw the way the people were acting, didn't like it. But Kivan Shegiel Lesulma Shel Tzor, to the ladder of Tyre, says, oh, I want to be a place like this. So you see the whole Sulma of Tzor as a boundary. Another Chazal in Erevin, right? You're discussing Eretz Yisrael. Demakifle Sulma Shel Tzor, Demakifle Michadisa, the Eretz Yisrael is bounded by Sulma Shel Tzor on one side. So again, we're seeing this range, the Akko, Kiziv, Rosh HaNikra, and going up to Tyre, which is really just minutes away. When I took a plane to Cyprus, they said, oh, it's right there. It's a few seconds away. It all looks it's the same. It's right there. And it was very close. It was supposed to be in the Sykes-Picot Agreement in Eretz Yisrael, but we lost it. So now come the details of the halachos and identifying the places. And it's 8:54. I think we should stop here. And we'll come back directly to Pshat in the Mishnah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Barnea, for taking us around your neighborhood. Next time, we'd appreciate the aerial photographs from your plane trips as well. Not just,
just wait.
Not just the postcards and everything else that you've sent us from, I think you had Avram Avinu actually sign on one of those, if I'm not mistaken, in Choran. So if you can do one of those, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu HaChutza, if you'd be able to bring us, I think one of the space companies is offering that now. So if you could bring us a postcard from there, that would be nice too. Especially.
Can I ask a quick question? Hello?
Yes.
It seems that Rosh Hanukkah is a very strong natural barrier. Does the Torah identify or follow natural barriers? The sea on one side, the river on the other side. Does it always work on strong natural barriers?
We're in that zone. The idea of Summa Shaturas is that it's a path that allows me to get through those mountains without being blocked by them. So Kibbutz Chanita has many archaeological finds. It's apparently on the ladder of Tyre. And as humanity worked out, how do we get from here to there? You can't go on the edge because of the natural matter. The Summa Shachor, you walk this way, and there's many, look it up, Rabbi Gamliel walking on Summa Shachor while he's wearing off his drink and only passing here. That's a path. It's a chain of a path to get through that mountain.
Maybe tomorrow you could please give us some more details of what exactly is the Sulam of the Sulam.
Okay.
Great. It's wonderful. All right, because remember, you've got a competitive a tour guide over there in Alon, and he's calling you to absolutely to task him.
I understood the hint. He wants me to retire.
And so to continue our marvelous introduction given by the world's greatest, I shouldn't say that, we've got a lot of competition here, but given by our very own neighborhood, the neighborhood tour guide, and always a neighborhood man is the best guy to give you a tour. And since nobody else has anybody whose neighborhood extends over all of my separations, except for Barnea, whether it's in terms of time or space, it's all Barnea's neighborhood. It must be a wonderful feeling to be at home like that in the universe. I assume that when we take our first tour of Mars, it will also be Barnea's neighborhood. But meanwhile, we can get to work on the Earth and talk about the Knesset of Klal Yisrael, two Eretz Yisrael in two separate times, one of Olei Mitzrayim and one of Olei Bavel, and Barnea is preparing the final Knesset and the final Kivush of all of the ten Aratzot that were promised to Avraham Avinu, all to be supplied probably to the Rambam, to Rashi, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who even saw it before Barnea, but to get all of the history in between, somebody's got to bring them up to date.
Okay. I'm the Basrai, but can Rabbi please let me share a screen?
Yes, indeed. Sorry about that. Okay, I forgot.
So it turns out that this is...
Wait. I'm having a problem here.
I'm talking in the meantime.
Okay, good.
It turns out that the issue of Summa Shel Tzor is a fascinating and little explored issue. So there's a father and son team, the Teppers, that explore Bayit Sheni areas. They wrote an entire book on the drachim of Aliyah L'Regel and the paths in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And they have several pages in Summa Shel Tzor, but nobody has drawn a path. You see, that's where we held up. Rebbe asked for more information, so that's what I spent time on, Summa Shel Tzor, the ladder of Tyre. I have not found a path. Professor Chaim Ben David suggests look at the roads that were used before 48, because they would probably be using the same roads. A French explorer, Victor Gruen, in the mid-1800s, recorded finding a 4-meter carved road with stone steps going up the mountain. And others know the 7-meter Roman imperial road with milestones. There's definitely one going on the coast because the milestones were found, but there may be another one going up the hills. They may be two separate roads.
Wow.
And the Summa Shel Tzor is mentioned in the Book of Maccabees, which are written during Bayit Sheni and by Josephus. So it's well known in Hellenistic Roman times. Chazal talked about Rabbi Gamliel. He was asked a question, but he had to wear off the drink. I think it was Erevin Chavbet is that one, but right. So he moved through Summa Shel Tzor. That'll be very significant in a second. And we have Avram Avinu saying when he came to Sulma Shel Tzor, this is the way I want to live. So that implies that's the entrance there to Israel. So it's very well known. Now, Dr. Yigal Avin from Bar Ilan is from the greatest living historical geographers. He said that I never worked on this. I know it's associated with the ridge, and this is what everybody's discussing. Is Sulma Shel Tzor a path? Is Sulma Shel Tzor a region? Is it Sulam in the sense of Ma'alot because you ascend? Does it imply actual steps, which is the implications of Victor Green that would fit in? So he's saying that Sulam is an unclear meaning, like Sulam Mutzavar, right? There's a place south of Tzor called Saran, which is mentioned in the Egyptian papyrus from 3,300 years ago, which is assumed to be the same place, we're not sure. Shel Tzor is obviously an Eretz Yisrael perspective of the name, maybe even indicating other places called Sulam that were not. You know, the Jaffa Gate is a Jewish thing. The Arabs called it Bab el Khalil, call it on the maps, Bab el Khalil, and there a Hebron starts from Jaffa Gate because it leads to Hebron of Avram Avinu, the friend of Hashem, who cares about Yafo? So it's named for your perspective. Rav Yoel Elitzur, who may be the greatest living historical geographer with a Tanakh Chazal background, says that, look at that, I hope you can see it. Lenia Dati, Sulma Shel Tzor B'Mekorot, Hu Atzuk HaLavan Shero Shenikra Batzmo. That object, the Derech was in the plain parallel to the sea about a kilometer in, until you go up to the high, steep ascendment, and then you have to go up 50, 60 meters above the Yam, and that's the easiest way to get up those hills, as opposed to if you're going more east, it's much harder. And that tipus, that climbing up, is called Suga.
So I agree with that, by the way. I've always explained that Sulma Shel Tzor is essentially being not an actual road. It never even occurred to me that we would use the word Sulma Shel Tzor as actual road or an actual madrigot. The pashtus is the Sulma Shel Tzor is a geographical formation that is essentially a ladder. And anybody that climbs up, that goes up on the Sulma Shel Tzor, feels that they're on a ladder. When you're climbing that area, you're basically, it's as if you're climbing up those thin little paths on the edge of the mountains, you know, about to fall into the Yam. And that to me was always like so experiential, that was Sulma Shel Tzor. Never ever occurred to me until I heard from you. That people actually think it's a road or real madrigot. I like this shot. Okay.
Yafeh. And he brings a raya from the story of Rabbi Baderech, that it was three Roman mil. So that fits the distance from Kiziv to the beginning of the ascent going up. And so I did that onto the map, on Google Maps. Here is ancient Kiziv. Right, and here I did two lines, one going straight up here right to the edge, and one going to the beginning over here. Each one is about 5 kilometers. A Roman mill is 1,855 meters, so it fits, right, from Kiziv to the beginning.
Yeah, but it doesn't fit so well, because from Kiziv it's not a sulam. 80% of that road that you show over here is not a sulam, it's flat.
Until you touch Sulma Shel Tzor, so since it's the hill and not the road, right, I've now contacted him. I'm not already up on the mountain. I'm at the beginning of Sulma. I've reached Sulma Shel Tzor, which is the formation. That's what he's timing.
All right. Okay.
There's enough to play. Oh, I can't move that. It's a picture. There's enough to play from Ziv that you can get up onto the road, etc., because it's really about 5.5 kilometers. So it can be even more to be up and on, you know, on it. But that's the way he was saying it. I took the PEF maps because I was looking what would be a natural path. There's all types of possibilities, but I didn't find an ancient one. But here is Kiziv, here is Tzor, and I made my own estimated path, which is really cheating. But just understand how close it is. You know, by sea, you know, it's just a hop. By air, it's a few seconds later. That's why I love going to the Cyprus Airlines. I said, wow, that's Tzor. It's so close. And actually going across this way, you're in the panhandle of the Galil, right? And the Litani River is running, you know, above it. And it was supposed to be part of Eretz Yisrael. The British made a concession to the French that cost us having the Litani River feeding into Eretz Yisrael, which should have been its main water source. It's unbelievable. Okay. So that was Suma Shel Tzor. And now we actually start our Mishnah and the Pshat of the Mishnah, which is what I was asked to do. So in terms of what Nechal Nebat is, there's many issues which Rebbe will discuss. What is eating? Does eating mean after beer? Is it Svichim? Is eating is Chulin? Is it working? What does that mean? But in terms of the places, Rebbe Landi brings that according to the Rambam and the Gra, the Nahar is Nahar Mitzrayim. So I'm drawing a line based on the Mishnah. Nahar Mitzrayim is clearly south, southwest. Amana is identified as Turei Amnos, round one, right? But it's something to the north. So the Mishnah is describing a line where I'm pulling from south to north. But other Meforshim, like the Rash, say the Nahar is in the north along with Amana. So the Ramban and Rukva both bring a Rav Moshe and Rabbi Chizdoi that the Nahar in our Mishnah is the Prat. So if I do from Kaziv to the Nahar, it's only heading north, not south. Others hold that the Nahar is the Kosmaya, which is part of the Litani near Tzor, or even further to the east, the rivers of Damascus, the Parpar, or the Amana, right? And that would fit. Now, what is Amana? What is the northern Hor HaHar? There are many opinions. Targum Yonason says Turis Amnos, and many people use that. I don't know who the Admat Kodesh is, but Bermuda Landi brings also this idea. Why does it say Lifnim and not Lachutz? So he holds the Amana is the Hermon, like
I think, Rabbanea, I think you're going a little bit too fast. Because I don't know that everybody's holding so clearly in the Mishnah that it's an obvious question is why does it say Lefnim and not Lechutz? It's kedai to get into the Mishnah a little bit more just by explaining how it doesn't make sense if you're giving us three areas. So then the first area is the area that is actually the smallest area that was conquered by the Olei Babel. The next area it goes beyond it, which was conquered by Erle Mitzrayim. And the next area should be outside of that area, not inside of that area, so it should say Lachutz. And instead it says Lefnim. So either, as the Bartanura says, it would sure be nice if it means Lachutz, and they're just using that word from a different perspective, but there are pshatim that explain why it's called Lefnim. Now, I pass it on to you to explain why we would call it Lefnim.
Okay, so the Admat Kodesh says that it's going only north, and the Amana is the Hermon, and it's really pulling in. And the point of the Mishnah is stressing that this is not the northern boundary mentioned in Parshas Maaseh, that goes much further north. You're not reaching up to the area of Levo. That says Levi Hamat. To Levo Hamat. This is much more limited, it's much further south. He holds the Nahar as the Litani, and since it was not captured by the Olei Mitzrayim, even though it's within Maaseh's boundaries, you can eat and work in it because it didn't get enough application to apply the Kiddush of Olei Mitzrayim. So it's another in the mid-range. But others, as Rebbe just said, simply means Lifnim, say taking it further, and it means not only the Taurus Mountains, but to the Nahar, to the Euphrates, to the Prat, right? And they're disagreeing with this. The Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam says that the whole explains the Rambam that even when you have Trumot Umasrot Midrabanan, but there's no Shvi'it outside the boundaries. So you'd say, why? Isn't that a total package that you're giving a kedusha? All laws apply. No, I'm going to give it Trumat Umasrot Midrabanan, but no Shvi'it restrictions. The Rash says that the Ole Mitzrayim border is halachically the same as Surya, which we're going to get to in Mishnah Bet. Just coming back to Kaziv, which was mentioned, if it's on the coast, which is reasonable, then it's accepted as Tel Aviv, right below Rosh Hanikra, west of the ladder of Tarav Sulmishal Tzur. And the Nisim Shebeyam, the islands off the coast of Aviv, affect the maritime line when you're drawing it, according to the opinions, that you're starting in the north and you are going south to Egypt, which is the Pashtus of the Rishalmi in the... What happened here? Oh, that's funny. I drew things here and it didn't stick on it, so I just have these yellow lines for you. But what happens? But okay, let's look at this picture, right? I'll zoom in a little bit more. Right? This is from Rav Steiner Sefer saying here, if Hor HaHar is... There's an opinion that's in the area of the Banyas, right? Then the line is over here. And this would be the northern line over here, touching the Prat. That's an approach that has Nacham Mitzrayim and a combination. The others will pull it further up. I'm just going to show you a bunch of different approaches now. I'm sorry, I don't know where this line is from. It's very good. Okay, so this is from Rev Yigal Ariel Sefer on the Hermonim on the north. So he says, here is Ole Mitzrayim, and I put in the caption of the picture, and you all have this file now. Kaziv is the bet, the derech that makes a difference which side of the road you're on for Tumas Amim. Are you in a Goyish area or not? That's the Gimel, and the Amnon line is Hay. So just giving you a sense of your different options of drawing the line. You can look at it in detail later. Here is Rev Steiner Sefer, saying, here, let's take a line out to Nahar Prat, and let's go from Hor HaHar being in the area of the Banyas to Nachal Mitzrayim. Here's a line.
Please explain that this is not the Banyas out of which the Yarden comes, because otherwise people are going to be extremely confused.
Sorry, it's not the Banyas of which the Yarden comes. Don't want to confuse you. Apparently, this yellow line fits here perfectly. Right? But I don't know. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry, I don't know where it's from. Here is Yigal Ariel showing the line of the Rambam's line. The Rambam described things in terms of the parallels, in terms of the Ole bubble. It's a completely different Shita. And look here at another set. This is in Rav Landi's Sefer. So he has Turi Amnos over here, which is deep in Turkey. I'm going to show you this opinion, and going down to El Arish as Nachal Mitzrayim. Remember we discussed earlier, we saw different opinions of where Nachal Mitzrayim is. Here, close up. Here's Antioch. The Orontes River comes out over here, and he has a place called Rosh en El Chazir. Ladokia in Syria is here. Here's the Banyas we just referred to. Here's Gebel over here, which is Byblos. Here's Beirut. We're far down below. Here's the southern part of it, going to El Arish. That's one opinion, taking that Hor HaHar and this Nachal Mitzrayim. As soon as you change a variable, you've changed the line. Reb Yehuda argues in a number of places in Chazal, and he uses the words of opposite Eretz Yisrael. Right, so that's where Rav Ariel's famous pictures come of all the Mediterranean, etc. Because where do you go from north to south, and then you go opposite? All of that is included in Kedusha within the parallels of the line. Right, so from the 30th to the 35th parallel, opposite there to swell is the way the Kafka of Ferach is understanding it. Now
but
here,
that's Rambam.
Yeah. Now, Rav Steiner did a beautiful thing here. I'm sorry that the squiggles are
on. What's going on? They're getting worse.
I don't know how to remove it right now. No, because it's moving. It got stuck from something else, right?
Bernie, all you have to do is go back to whatever you started on. Click both that and the image, and you can group it right under where you see that it's...
All right, well, we don't have time now, but...
Not now. So let's close at this point here. Look at Rav Steiner's beautiful line. What if you start, this is Hor HaHar and this is Nachal Mitzrayim? What if you take, this is Hor HaHar and this is Nachal Mitzrayim? And he has each one color-coded So you can say, is it the Kafta Beferech? Is it the Rashi? Is it the Marikesh and the Rambam?
Wow. Right?
Very beautiful. And then here is the Rambam's eight-day walk from Yerushalayim, Legabe Yom Tov Sheni. Right, how far that is. Right, very beautiful. And this is the, you know what, I'll try and finish it now. This is the Surya Mishnah, which is coming up. Here is Rav Steiner showing the area of Surya where some...
How about, Rabbanea, how about if we do the Surya part as an introduction to the Mishnah Beit?
Okay, so leave Surya now.
Yeah, leave it.
Richie! What is the din of Eilat? So, Rav Nevinsel says, the way to understand the Rambam is that since he sosur himself, at one place he says 30, one place he says 29, means 29 and a half, and Baruch Hashem, Eilat is just inside 29 and a half, and there are those who say, Rav Yashim says that the boundaries of the Rambam also apply to Shemitah. So therefore, Eilat has Kedusha, according to this opinion. Welcome to the Prat, which is only a fraction of what it was because they built the Greater Anatolia project, and so there's a dam further up, so it's not at its full power at all times, but it is the Prat. But here's a sense of the Prat also. Here we are on the Prat, right? That's Avner Garin and David Wilner, right? And here I am so excited.
Arnea, I thought we were learning the Mishnah in Shrias and not going through your home movies.
Rebbe asked for the home movies. Rebbe made a specific request.
Oh, I did, but not Erev Shabbos.
We're almost done. It's just a few pictures. But my excitement here is because I'm coming from Eivor HaNahar, literally coming from Eivor HaNahar, which is like amazing.
Amazing.
Now, the bound, this is Musada. This mountain is what some hold is Hor HaHar. So we are just north of it outside. And Eretz Yisrael would begin from this mountain further. It's by the Antioch River.
I dare you to say this in Turkey.
This is in Turkey, yes.
I dare you to say those words in Turkey.
I did. There's another, just a slightly different view. One more, it's all the same thing, but just you're getting a sense that it's a very powerful image. It's a very powerful mountain. Now, Jews killed in the Churban. Taken captive in the Churban of Beit Sheni were taken as slaves here to divert the Orontes River so it would not silt up the port of Antioch. And it's called the Titus Vespasian Tunnel. It's over a kilometer long, dug through the mountain. And we know that our relatives, our brethren, were here doing this. Look at this. This is including Jewish labor.
That is amazing.
I think we should
here in several places are still the inscriptions. Look, you can read Vespasian Titus. Everybody see that?
Yeah. Wow.
Spotlight. Amazing. Right here, Vespasian and Titus. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a Chazal. Here's another one, right? There's a Chazal that the Golem will come to the boundary of Eretz Yisrael and they will say Shira. So we sat here and we read the Kinos of Yitziasim B'Mitzrayim, Me'adrianus Kesar B'Yitziasim Yerushalayim. And then we sang, right? It was unbelievable. If this is the right identification, this is where it's happening. It's a place where we suffered from the Churban and where we will be coming back. B'Shah Tova B'Mehera B'Yameinu. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi Arnia. Beautiful. Okay, Rabbi, have a wonderful Shabbos. I hate saying goodbye because it means I have to wait to see you like all the way till the end of the next day. Okay, can you do it? So I'll keep the image in mind. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, everyone. B'sarot tovot, kol tov. Looking forward to seeing you again on Mitzvah Shabbos. And to this afternoon, to those who are going to be learning, I heard that Richie wanted to join us for a change. All right. Shabbat shalom uvarach.